I am definitely in God's hands tonight as I teach this lesson. Nothing went according to plan. I didn't get to bed till about probably going on 4 a.m. this morning. My son arrived with his family at about 3:30 this morning. And you know how it is when the kids come home. And then my almost brand new granddaughter, she slept all the way, you know, from North Carolina here. So when they got home, she was all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. She didn't want to sleep, right? So they were awake, and then, you know, anyway, I'm here.
Praise God.
Let's go into prayer. Heavenly Father, once again, we just come giving you praise, honor, and glory, Father, and thanking you, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, you're such a good God. Lord, you know, when we think about your goodness and your mercy and your grace that you extend to us every day, it's absolutely amazing. Lord, you are so good to us. Thank you. Lord, we ask your blessings. Father, I ask your blessing, Lord, on your anointing on this lesson. I ask, Father, that you would give me the utterance to deliver it as I ought to. Help your people, Lord, to reach deep into this lesson as I teach it, and help them, Father, Lord, to get something, Lord, that they haven't got, they've never gotten before. Cause it to be a blessing, Lord, and cause this lesson, Lord, that it would bring forth fruit in their lives, and that it would be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'm teaching tonight on hearing the voice of God. Now, I've heard a lot of people say, God never speaks to me. Have you ever heard people say that? God never speaks to me. I never hear God's voice. And so it leads you to ask, how does God really speak? How does he speak? How do we hear his voice? You know, the truth is that God is always speaking. We're the ones who aren't listening.
That's right. That's right.
God, there are several ways that, you know, for us to hear God's voice. And he speaks differently at different times, depending on the circumstances, depending on who we are. You know, God will speak to you right where you are. He doesn't speak over your head. He speaks to you right where you are. When I first got saved, I remember when I first got saved, It wasn't long, like the very next day, the enemy came and started saying to me, how do you know you're saved? You're not really saved. What if you live your entire life thinking you're saved, and then on judgment day, you're on your way to hell? You know, and that really bothered me. Now, the church that I got saved in, it was a good, pretty good Bible, Bible teaching church. But they had this thing that they taught us about the second work of grace, sanctification being the second work of grace. And, you know, from my understanding, I could have been wrong, but the way I understood it then is that sanctification meant that, you know, you were suddenly holy and you never did anything wrong. You know, you had to pray through. We used to sing this song, "The Heavens Resounded When I Prayed Through." You pray it through, and you pray it and pray it and pray it, and then something happens, and then, you know, you became this sanctified person, and you were, you know, you never lost your temper, or, you know, you were just holy, you know? And so I prayed, and I said, Lord, I need to know whether I'm saved or not. I need to know. You have to show me. I cannot stand to live my entire life thinking that I'm saved and then find out that I'm not saved. Now remember, the church that I went to, it taught sanctification. So that night I went to sleep, and I had a dream. And in my dream, I was in church, and the preacher preached a message, and then he gave an altar call. And I was the only one. It wasn't an altar call for sinners. It was an altar call for people who were already saved but who wanted to be sanctified. And in my dream, I was the only one at the altar praying. Yeah. That was the voice of God. God will speak to us in dreams sometimes. Not all the time, but he will speak to us in a dream. he met me where I was, because that's what I was taught. So he was showing me, you know, you could not get sanctified according to the church unless you were saved. In my dream, I was the only one up there, and it was an altar call for those who were already saved but who wanted to get sanctified. So let's look at this from the biblical perspective. I'm kind of changing things around here a little bit. Let me do the face thing. My daughter got me into this facial recognition thing because I could never remember my password. You know, everything is a password these days, a password for this, a password for that, and you know, and then suddenly you can't remember what password goes. So she said, Mom, just do the facial recognition thing. So here I am. Okay. I've strayed completely off my path. Genesis, let's look at Genesis 37, 17 through 19. Here we go. Genesis 37. Now we're talking about dreams. Now everybody remember Joseph. Joseph was a dreamer. He was always having these dreams. And you know, his brothers didn't like it. And so we're picking up, this is the shortened version of it. Verse 17 in Genesis. His brothers are they're out in a different place than they used to be, taking care of their father's sheep. And so their father, you know, sent Joseph to check on them. And in verse 17, he couldn't find them. And so he asked someone, and the guy said, they've moved on from here. The man answered, I heard him say, let's go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. Here comes that dreamer, they said to each other. They plotted to kill him because he was always dreaming. You know, God was speaking to Joseph through dreams. He saw the sun and the moon and the 10 stars, you know, were worshiping him, and they didn't like it. You know, then he had some other dreams, and we all know what happened. Joseph was sold into slavery. He ended up in Potiphar's household, and then through a series of events, he ended up in prison. But then he ended up second in command in Egypt, and a famine came, and who came to Egypt looking for food? His brothers, the same brothers who sold him into slavery. And the fast forward to the story, Jacob and the entire household ended up in Egypt, where Joseph took care of them, Joseph fed them. Joseph's dream came to pass, even though, you know, his brothers sold him into slavery. You know, when God has something for us, it doesn't matter who plots what. We are going to arrive where we're supposed to be. It may take a little while, you know what I mean? We may take some twists and turns and a few detours and go around a few corners, but we are going to end up right where we're supposed to end up. Joseph ended up second in command. And he was able to rescue them from the famine. He was seeing this all the while, through a dream. God was speaking to Joseph. Now, back in the 80s, when we first came south, I had this dream, and it troubled me. And then about 3-4 days later, I had the exact same dream. I mean, it just didn't change. And then, the next week, the same dream. So I had the same dream 3 times in the space of 2 weeks. But by the third time, I mean, I knew God was telling me something. God got my attention. If he was speaking and I wasn't listening, when he gave me that dream, he got my attention. And in this dream that I had, I, you know, as a little girl growing up, my mom raised, we call them fowls. the ones that run around. And it was my responsibility to feed these fowls. And we had different, you know, different feathered fowls. Some were brown, some were red, some were yellow, white, you know, multicolored ones. But in my dream, I forgot to feed them for 3 days. And they were weak, and they were, you know, some were dying. They looked like they were dying. And somewhere in the background, somebody was saying it was my fault because I didn't feed them for 3 days. And I didn't like it. I woke up and I don't like hearing nothing is my fault. So a few days later, I had the same dream. Next week, same dream. Well, I asked a friend to pray with me for the interpretation of this dream. And the next day, I went to the hospital to visit one of our church members who was ill. And so I'm sitting there, and there was this lady, and you know, we just struck up a friendship and found out we were both Christians. So we really started talking. And then I told her, well, I'm here to see one of my church members, and I mentioned her name. And it turned out it was her mom. It was this lady's daughter. And then the next thing I knew, I was telling her my dream. And she gave me the interpretation just like that. She said, you've been lazy for 3 years. And I said, what? She said, yes, you are called to teach. But you're called to encourage people. But you have been doing it. She said, those 3 days that you forgot to feed those birds, those fowls, each day represented a year. And the different colored fowls that you saw, or chickens, are all the different kinds of people that you are going to meet in your lifetime. She said, you're going to meet all color, all nationality, ethnic background. That's what they all represented. And she said, God is showing you that you need to get back on track because you have been lazy for 3 years. So it wasn't the best interpretation. So I can't remember if it was the next night or the same night, I went to church, and one of my church members, she said, Jam, my husband has the interpretation of your dream. He said, from the time you gave it, you asked a prayer, God gave him the interpretation, but he was afraid to tell you. So I said, okay, it'll tell me. And he told me verbatim. Word for word. He said, each day represents a year. You've been lazy for 3 years. All those different type of fowls that you saw represent different types of people from different background. I mean, it was just the most amazing thing, you know? And he said, God is saying, get moving. You know, you need to get back to what he has called you to do because this is your ministry. Well, that was news to me. I didn't know I had a ministry. You know, back in those days, Oral Roberts and Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker, they were king. And I thought that was their ministry, you know, Kenneth Hagin, you know. I just never saw me as having a ministry. That was my interpretation of a ministry. Isn't it amazing how we can misinterpret things? Yeah. So I honestly didn't know, and God wanted me to know. And you know, over the years, there were times when I've ran away from teaching. And some kind of way, I always end up doing the very thing that I'm running from, things I don't want to do. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says that our gift will make room for us. Amen. When you have, when God has given you a gift or he calls you to do something, he will make sure that you find a way to do it, even when you're hesitant, even when you're afraid. You know, standing up here, sometimes it's a fearful thing to stand in front of all you nice guys and teach. So God speaks to us in dreams. He also speaks to us in visions. Now, I've never had a vision. That's one of the things I was praying about not too long ago. I said, Lord, I would like to experience, you know, have a vision. You know, show me a vision. And so we're going to look at someone who had a vision. Let's turn to Acts chapter 16. And we're going to read Acts 16 Acts 10. Acts chapter 10. Sometimes I can't read my own handwriting. From verse 9 through 16. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet went back into heaven. Now, here Peter had this vision of all these different, animals on a sheet being let down from heaven, and they were not clean animals for them to eat, you know, based on the law that God gave them. Certain things were clean and some things were unclean. And so, there was a sheet with all these animals, these unclean animals, and this voice is telling them, kill and eat. And Peter said, "I've never eaten anything common or unclean." God was showing Peter, you know, back then, the gospel, the word was only being taught to Jews. But God had included the Gentiles. He had included us. We are the ones represented there on that sheet. We were the common ones. We were the unclean ones. And he was sending, he was showing Peter, you know, that he needed to reach out to these people, that they needed the word too. And he gave it to him in a vision. You know, that's another way God speaks. Now, Peter could have ignored it, but how can you ignore something like that? So we see, you know, God just doesn't speak in audible voices, which he does, but he speaks through dreams, as in, you know, as I shared and in my own personal experience, and as we read with Joseph, and he speaks through visions. Let's look at another person who had a vision. Let's look at Acts chapter 10. This is Paul. This is Paul, Acts 16 verse 9. I told you all I didn't get enough sleep. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, Paul was charting in the book of Acts here in this chapter, and Paul was charting his journey, you know, all the different places that he had gone to teach the word, you know, and just about everywhere that he went, he was persecuted. He was beaten, you know, it was horrible. And so in this instance here, he was going to go ahead in one place. But instead, he got this vision saying, "Come over to Macedonia. Come here and help us." That was the voice of God. Yes. You know, see how God speaks? Yes. He speaks to us in different ways. And we, as God's children, you know, we need to pay attention. Now, we're a sheep. God calls us sheep. I'm not quite sure why he calls us sheep. I'm sure there's a reason. In John 10:27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now, I never saw this before until I was preparing this lesson. He said, my sheep. He didn't just say sheep. Sheep know my voice. My sheep. Which leads me to believe that not every sheep belongs to God. Wouldn't you agree? Not every sheep, you know, shepherds, every shepherd have its own sheep. And the sheep that belongs to that particular shepherd belongs in a specific fold. And you wouldn't find, you know, another set of sheep going into a stranger's fold. Sheep stick with, you know, they know their shepherd's voice and they follow that voice. And Jesus said that my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. So I decided to do a little research on sheep. And you know, I found out some pretty interesting things about sheep. I saw this I don't know exactly what you'd call it, but it was on YouTube or Google somewhere. And some people, they wanted to do the same experiment. They wanted to prove the scripture, if what Jesus said was true, that my sheep know my voice. And so they found a shepherd that had some sheep, and they explained to him that they wanted to do this little experiment, and they wanted him to allow them to interact with his sheep and call his sheep. And, you know, and they found out from him how he called his sheep, and he told them, he agreed, and he gave them his staff and everything. And so they went to where the sheep were, and they started calling to the sheep. They started mimicking this shepherd and trying to call the sheep, but the sheep wouldn't respond. You know, one lady even tried to, you know, lure one of the sheep with some food, and the sheep was kind of, you know, he was kind of leery. He wanted the food, you know, and he'd take a few steps, you know, and then he'd back away. Pretty much like Satan does, you know, when he tries to, you know, to dangle a carrot in front of us, and depending on what it is, we may look at it. Oh, that looks good, you know. And then we're thinking, should I? Should, you know, and then as we get closer to that thing, the Holy Spirit inside of us will speak and we'll know something is right here and we'll back away. And this, you know, they tried. Boy, did they try. But, you know, those sheep did not respond. Just like Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. If we're sheep, if we're his sheep, we're supposed to know his voice. Isn't that what he said? He said we know his voice. So how can we say that he never speaks to us or we never hear his voice? It's not that he's not speaking. We're not listening. We need to get bigger ears. And then there was another experiment that I looked at. And this one, this was a shepherd who had bought this particular sheep. This sheep didn't belong to his fold, but he brought this sheep into his fold. So this sheep, he didn't know this shepherd. This was a new, you know, new guy to him. And immediately he integrated with the rest of the sheep, but he was sure keeping, you know, an eye on that shepherd. He wouldn't go to him when the shepherd would try to go to him, to talk to him, you know, he would back away from that shepherd because he just didn't know him. He wasn't familiar with him. And so the shepherd on the internet, he was explaining why this sheep was reacting the way he was reacting. And he said, he doesn't know me. And so I have to be patient with him. And he has to get used to my voice. But once he gets used to my voice and he gets to know me, then, you know, it'll be easier. You know, Jesus is our shepherd. Yes. And he's very patient with us, isn't he? He's long-suffering. You know, he doesn't just knock us over the head, you know, when we mess up. And some of us, if you're like me, mess up a couple dozen times. I mean, if God was to deal with us according to the, you know, to our missteps, boy, I don't think there would have been any head for him to hit anymore, because my head would have been bashed in so many times, you know. But he's a patient shepherd. He's very long-suffering. Isn't that what the word said? Jesus, you know, he's long-suffering. Sometimes, you know, when I hear certain injustices and things that make my blood boil, And I said, you know, Lord, I wish I could be you for just 1 minute. I sure would show him a thing or two, you know. But you know what? I'm glad that I'm not God. Because when I mess up, I sure wouldn't want somebody else to be, you know, getting in there after me just like that. God is patient with us. And just like this shepherd was explaining, you know, that he's going to be patient with his sheep. And he's going to give him time to know his voice. He's going to give him time to get used to the fold and you know, and stuff. God is our shepherd, and he's patient with us. Now, one thing, another thing, you know, I touched on dreams. I want to talk briefly on his word. God speaks to us through his word. We will hear the voice of God through his word.
Yes.
Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Every single time when I had just gotten saved, that I opened my Bible, it opened up to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I mean, it didn't matter if the pastor said, turn to Genesis chapter 1, or turn to Revelations, or turn to Proverbs or Ecclesiastes. And I'm intending to turn to Proverbs or Ecclesiastes. I'm intending to turn to Revelation, just where he says, my Bible would always fall open, you know. And I remember sitting in church, I think it was a Tuesday night, because we had a prayer meeting on Tuesday night, and thinking to myself, why is it every time I open my Bible, this verse is always staring at me? That was the voice of God. He was speaking to me through his word. You know, he had to show me that. I don't think I'll be embellishing if I say a couple dozen times, because it took a while for me to get it. It really did. Sometimes, you know, I have a thick skull. And then one day, it hit me. That's God speaking to you. He was speaking to me through his word. He was telling me to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. That is, you know, God speaks to us through his word. Have you ever been reading your Bible and you're just reading merrily along, and then suddenly a particular verse just seemed to jump out at you? It grabs your attention. Your spirit resonates, you know, to that verse. We shouldn't ignore it. That is the voice of God speaking to us. We need to pay attention. Take heed to what he's saying. It could save our lives.
Yes.
It really could. This is a side journey. I didn't think that I would fit this in here. In fact, I didn't even think about it. But several years ago, Matt was probably about maybe 5, 6. No, he was younger than that, because I wasn't coming here yet. I came here, he was about 6 years old when I came here. I was still at my old church. It was a Wednesday night. I'd gone shopping for groceries, and you know, it was must have been payday or something, because it took me forever to get the groceries and to get home. But it was about 6:30. Church started at 7:30. I was in a hurry to unload the groceries so I can go to church. And it was in the fall. You know, it always gets darker earlier in the fall. So the house was dark. And I opened the kitchen door, and I stepped into the kitchen, dragging as many of the bags as I could, put it on the counter, and I was reaching to, you know, to flip the light on. And instantly, I heard from the inside, I heard this really stern voice, do not flip that switch. I mean, and so I pulled back. But then, I didn't pay no attention to the voice. I reached for the other knob right next. It was the dimmer that controls the chandelier over our dining table. And that particular dimmer, it's never completely turned off. You know, you turn it up and down, but it never clicks off. So what had happened, when I got into the house was filled with gas. I mean, it was so strong. Even after I'd opened every window and every door in our house, and by the time the gas guy arrived at about 10 o'clock that night, didn't get to go to church, the gas, the stench of gas was still very strong in our house. Matt had run back to watch Arthur, and I didn't know what was going on. And so the gas man came, and he said, you know, he had to turn the gas off because it was blowing gas into our house. And he looked at me rather strange, and he said, how did you get this light on? And I forgot what had happened. How easy we forget. And I said, oh, I just flipped the switch on. And he said, lady, for the amount of gas that's in this house, when you flip that switch, that click, this whole house should have exploded. When I heard that voice, that stern voice, do not flip that switch. If I had flipped that switch, I don't think I would have been standing here today. That was the voice of God. Save me and my son. Both of us would have been poof, you know, gone to eternity. I would not have been here. So you see, when we hear that voice speaking to us, whether it's, you know, coming from the inside, or whether it's a dream or a vision, we need to listen. We need to heed. It could save our lives. And, you know, later on when my husband finally came home, there was still gas, the stench of gas in the house. It was so strong. And I told him what happened. And he was like, oh man, I sure glad you didn't flip that switch. Save, you know, the voice of God. I took heed, and it saved my life. God will speak sometimes in a still small voice. Sometimes it may be just a faint impression you may get, and if you're not really paying attention, you could miss it. You know, he may speak to you in a dream. He may speak to you in a vision. But God speaks. God is always speaking because we are his sheep, and he's always speaking to his sheep. And he says that we know his voice. We know his voice. Don't, if you're one of those people who think that God never speaks, that is not true. That's what the enemy would like you to think. You know, we just need to train ourselves to learn to hear God's voice. Train our spirit man, you know, by reading the word, you know, by praying. You know, when we do that, we develop a relationship by coming to church. You know, some people think you can just show up once or twice a year on Easter or Christmas or, you know. You can't build a relationship by just showing up once or twice a year. Because, you know, when you come, you fellowship with other believers. We draw from each other. You know, I'm not going to mention the young lady's name, but we were all in church, just like we are tonight. And she was just worshiping God. She was just praising God. You know, she had her hands up in the air. And, you know, she had no idea how much she blessed me. Something about watching her praise like that did something to me. See, I drew something from her. Had she not been here praising and worshiping like that, there would have been nothing for me to draw from her because she wasn't here, you know? So we draw strength from each other. And so when we want to know God's voice, if we want to hear the voice of God, we need to be in church as often as we can. We need to develop a relationship with our Heavenly Father by reading his word, by praying. You know, praying is just talking to God. You can talk, you know, you don't have to go with these and thous. I mean, we don't talk like that today. You go around talking these and thous, and people are definitely going to look at you strangely, you know. Talk to God just like we talk to each other, you know. One time I was ill, and I'd gone to the doctor, and they'd give me this medication. I said, take all of it. You have to take all of it. So I was taking the medication, you know, following doctor's orders, and I wasn't getting any better. And that morning, I got up, and I sat on the edge of my bed, And I remember saying out loud, I was just talking. I wasn't expecting to hear anything back. I remember I said, Lord, what's wrong with me? Why am I so sick? And immediately I heard a still soft voice said to me, it's those pills. That's what's making you sick. So that day I didn't take the pills. Now I'm not telling you don't take your pills. No, this is just my personal experience. And you know, I started to get better. Didn't take them the next day. I mean, I just got better. Come to find out, these pills, this medication that they'd given me, had sulfur, and I'm allergic to sulfur. I didn't know that. And that's what was making me sick. And God solved the problem. He told me, it's those pills. I spoke, and he spoke back. You never know when God is going to speak back to you. So speak to him, you know? Speak to him. Talk to God. Tell him what you're feeling. Be afraid that he's, you know, he knows it anyway. So you may as well just, you know, admit it. Admit it. And Lord, I know that you know this about me. And, you know, you're right. This is how I feel. And I need help. I need help. God wants to hear from us. And he wants us to hear his voice.
Yes.
Amen.
Done.